everyone, welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I am your host, Lyle Swithenbank. This is a sportsethos.com presentation. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can go over there and check out at Lyle Swithenbank, LyleSwithenbank, at Ethos Pelicans is the show. Also got a bit more going on over there as well. If you can go and follow that, we're really trying to build that Twitter page up, and hopefully you can keep some good content coming through there, as well as the links to all of these shows. With that admin out of the way, a little thing happened this morning or last night, Friday night, USA time, Saturday morning for me. The Pelicans decided to sweep the Lakers. They got the brooms out. They saw a bit of dirt on the ground and decided to sweep it up and sent the Los Angeles Lakers back to their Rodeo Drive beds. Sad. And without a win. And probably without their draft pick. Because we're going to have it. So, is this going to be a salty Pelicans fan episode where I gloat and rave about how good of a victory it was and how good the Pelicans are and being able to rally from a few points down in the last quarter to close a game against, countless future Hall of Famers, top 75 All-NBA players, against revered coaching staff, a hallowed franchise with big names and bright lights and unlimited money and sellout stadium every night. No, maybe this won't be. Or maybe it will be. I mean, it started that way because I tell you what, the Pels went in there and they went to work and they did their job. And they got it done. And we're going to break that game down. We're going to gloat as much as we want and we're going to have a little party. We're going to celebrate because this is a game where the Pelicans came out and they were... It was an arm wrestle back and forth. The Lakers realized how important this was for their future this year and next year, I guess, with the lack of first-round draft pick. Wasn't going to go to them anyway, but going to us is even sweeter. And decided to rally the troops. LeBron James sitting out yesterday to rest that sore ankle, decided to come and play against us, which was lovely. And Anthony Davis, playing his first game since the middle of February, decided to come and play against the Pels as well. And after the game said that, it was just another game, no different playing the Pelicans, said something about social media that was incoherent, and it just showed how much we just live rent-free in his head. Because of course it's a bigger game, why did you come back in this one? Of all the games, you could have played the Jazz last night, could have played any of the other games coming out, it's got Oklahoma City coming up, that would have been a good return game. I don't know. But it had to be the Pelicans. And it had to be on NBA TV. The bright lights of national broadcast. And unfortunately, we spoiled the party. The underdogs. The Lakers trade pieces that were shipped off so that they could go and get themselves that bubble ring. And all credit to them. That banner still hangs there. It's still a banner that we don't have sitting there. All credit to them having to do that. COVID was tough. Playing no fans and away from your family for so long. Credit to them. They got that. But what was the cost? What was the cost? And it just makes tonight all that much sweeter because all of those guys that they, in quotation marks, gave up on to trade for Anthony Davis are now coming really good. And all of those draft picks are developing in a culture, thriving in a culture that we've built, that the coaching staff, the players, the front office has built and put together. And I'm really proud of our guys. So, enough of me carrying on about, that was a little ode to the Lakers and to the Pelicans, I guess. The Pelicans defeat the Lakers 114 to 111. That takes us to 34-43 on the season, to their 30-46 as they tumble down the standings. They have now firmly in the 11th spot, with Spurs taking the 10th. And they are actually they're a game behind. San Antonio, and now three games behind us, which is fantastic. Really good for our position. I think we'll be hosting a play-in game at home at the very minimum, which is beautiful. We'd love to be in that situation, get the fans down there, and fill the Smoothie King Center out. So great result. There's still a lot of hard work to be done. Five more games, and then the play-in, and then who knows? We'll see what happens. But tonight, let's go over to the quarter-by-quarter summary, as we like to start off with. New Orleans come out, started really well, 30-25. It was a scrappy arm wrestle. It was a bit back and forth, but managed to close the quarter up by five, and we knew it was going to be a bit of a fight. We knew that LeBron was on a tear. He ended up with 38 points and was unbelievable. They wanted to get Anthony Davis going, getting him his feet back under him, and he started woefully, ended up not too bad in terms of his points and output. But there was 15 ties, 13 lead changes, and neither team led by more than 6 points. I mean, if that doesn't describe an arm wrestle, I don't know what does. It was really a tough one, and luckily we fell on the right side of it. Second quarter, they fight back, 25-20, and well, it's all square. All square at halftime, 0-0 again, or 1-1. Third quarter, we've been the best third quarter team, as we said with Ollie, as we discussed it in our last episode, and the Lakers managed to drop 37 to our 36, and they were on a bit of a tear. They started getting going. LeBron was unbelievable, and he was unstoppable as per. They shot a lot of free throws, and I mean, so did we in the end. But I think it came a little bit later for us because they were getting spoon-fed free throws throughout the night, and it looked like at a point the refs were going to try to take over and perhaps throw out Brandon Ingram for an errant block attempt that hit LeBron in the face. They went with a flagrant one, which I think was the correct idea, and if you're going to play with intensity, well, sometimes people are going to get hit in the head. So it's a contact sport. Grow up. Because no one does anything maliciously. And if it is malicious, then throw them out. But it wasn't. So, really, arm wrestle. Coming in 1 point down at the end of the third quarter, and we knew it was on. The Lakers jumped out. They started getting really up and about. They started hitting threes and started to pull away. And credit to New Orleans, they managed to pull it back. And that was, I think, a smart coaching decision by Willie Green to put Jose Alvarado in the game. Perhaps held him. He didn't play very many minutes in this one, but being able to bring him in and then him immediately get an and one was just fantastic. His defensive intensity was great down the stretch, and using Trey Murphy as well with his length against Anthony Davis and also LeBron, and he was very, very good at switching. Najee Marshall as well, great on the defensive end, and we really locked in. And in that last 2 minutes, I mean, it was unbelievable. We were down by three. The ball kicks out to Jonas Valanciunas for three. Bang. He slots that. It's all square. And then we get a stop. And we come back down and we execute. And all of a sudden, we're up by a couple. And they start playing foul game. And CJ knocks down a couple of big fouls. And, it was just fantastic to see other guys respond. Because I was thinking about it today. And the games that if we were in this situation last year, we would drop them. Absolutely would have dropped this game. We would have dropped our heads and been like, oh, well, they've got us. And instead, we played inspired. The guys reacted. They realized that, hang on, Jonas is a big mismatch. He's a big monster. Give him the ball. We can get ours anywhere on the court. We can get a layup if we want. They cannot defend us. And for some unknown reason, they just were woeful at defending. And when that finally clicked, we managed to close the game, and all credit to the Pelicans for pulling together and winning that one, because that, I mean, for us, that gives us, we already had the tie break, but now we've got 3-0 on them. They're in dire straits, and listening to their post-game, they were in all sorts of hell. LeBron was chewing his sunglasses and looked like he didn't want to be there. They make him sit through 13 minutes of losing post-game interviews. I mean, gosh, we're lucky to get a minute and a half, 2 minutes when we lose. But it was pretty woeful for them. LeBron, the last, we're up by three to give you paint the picture. We had 9 seconds left. They advance the ball, get it into LeBron. He runs around with it for a bit, Pump fake. And we had Herb jumping around, Larry Nance jumping around to defend him. And he airballs the three and we win. So, great result. Over at the team comparison. Bit of background music for you. We end up shooting 51% from the field. And we finally stop settling for threes. It was one of those games that, again, the last two, actually, we've been woeful at shooting threes. 7 of 26 again tonight, and a lot of them came late. And CJ hit a really big one, actually. That was really good. They hit 11 of 27, 40% of their threes to their 47% from the field. And it was, like I said, it was an arm wrestle all game. And all credit to our guys for playing with a bit of gumption, you know, going in and fighting and I suppose digging in and recognizing the moment, not being overwhelmed, and executing, doing their job. Everyone was a star in their role tonight, and I'm so impressed with the guys. We end up shooting 25 of 29 on a free throw line. They had 22 of 31. Missed free throws were woeful for them. They were throwing them all over the shop. Assists 23 to 24. The ball stuck a little bit more, and perhaps not having true point guards out there, like no Jose for the majority of the game. You know, he's usually pretty good with the assists, and it was a lot of one-on-one. I'm going to break you down. I'm going to score here. And when we did try to do plays, we were a bit sloppy with it. What else do we have? Turnovers were a bit average. We had 13. They had 11. And it was choppy because they'd come in waves. We'd turn the ball over three times in a row and then just play beautiful basketball and take care of it. And I think the big thing is that you can't let one turnover turn into two and then turn into an empty possession, and then all of a sudden you've had a six-minute dry spell. And that didn't happen in this. I think the guys really took heed that they needed to slow down and recognize that, make the correct pass. You don't have to rush. We don't have to go fast. We can just do what we want to do, and that was great recognition from the guys. Yeah, really good. Points off turnovers is nil. It was like 18 to 17. And yeah, it was good. Good for us. Would have been better to keep the turnovers a little bit lower, but you can take 13 if you're going to get a few points off the turnovers there, which was good. Over at the box score, CJ McCollum played 40 minutes and had 32 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 12 of 23, 4 of 8 from 3, hit all 4 of his free throws, including 2 clutch ones right down the stretch to really seal the game. He did have 4 turnovers, but I tweeted about this earlier, and it was just some errant passes. He just looked a bit lackadaisical with it. That tightened right up in the last quarter, and we executed. Jonas in 37 minutes, or 38 minutes just about, he had 17 and 12, 6 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, hit one of his 3-pointers, 6 of 10 shooting. He was unbelievable. And when he plays aggressive, we are a completely different team. The problem is that occasionally he gets too passive and decides to create, you know, he wants to do flip passes over his head or kick the ball back out. Instead of just putting his shoulder directly in the smaller bloke's chest, because they're all smaller than you, and finish over the top. So that is probably the only constructive criticism. It's not even criticism. It's just a recognition that if he is aggressive, he dominates. And he did that in the last quarter. He was a game changer. It was really, really good. Herb Jones, 12 points, had the big job on LeBron all night. Did a good job. I mean, LeBron is LeBron, but you made him uncomfortable. And when the game was on the line, he missed the three and, you know, we win. So it was good. Brandon Ingram always plays well. It's the best team he plays against. The team that drafted him and then subsequently traded him. 29 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. He was unbelievable. 10 of 17. He was great. And another 9 free throw attempts, which I'm loving him getting to the line, being aggressive, and then knocking those free throws down. It's been really, really consistent in the last few games since he returned. And, yeah, stoked for BI with that. Jax didn't play too much. I think that was matchup purposes against AD, Anthony Davis, that is. And he was a bit all over the shop. Only had 6 points, had a couple of steals. Solid. Willie did go with a different rotation. There was like 15 minutes from Nance. Najee had 14. Graham had 14. Trey Murphy had 14 minutes, and Jose only had 7 after really being quite... he's having some big minutes and some big games in recent times, but he decided to play him a bit less. Again, he had 2 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and he was solid down the stretch. Everyone was. They executed. We got the job done. Whether we can find... We can pick holes in different guys' games, but at the same time, why would we? Because this is a party, and we need to celebrate. So, I'm going to duck off to the break. We're going to thank all the sponsors, as we like to do, and we're going to come back, do the 3 key takeaways, and we're going to preview the Clippers game. All that coming up next. So, thank you very much to the sponsors. Go and check them all out. The first one we're going to plug is ThriveFantasy.com, Sports Ethos dedicated daily fantasy partner. Go and check that out. Use the code ETHOS when you sign up. That will give you a deposit match bonus, which you can't get anywhere else, and a few other free game tickets. Go and check that out. ThriveFantasy.com. Use the code ETHOS when you sign up. Deposit match bonus, free game tickets. Beautiful. Also, Manscaped.com. Go and check out the website Manscaped. Everything they got over there, the online store, Manscaped has it all for all your shaving needs. Use the code ETHOS20 when you... Well, at checkout, actually, and that'll give you 20% off and free shipping. Great discount. Free shipping, who doesn't love that? Great shavers, all of that sort of carry-on, moisturizers, and whatever else your heart desires in terms of shaving. Go and check it out at Manscaped. And if you came for a flutter, go and use mybookie.ag. Check them out over there. Use the code ETHOS when you sign up on the third page of the sign-up application. And that will give you a 100% deposit match bonus. Treat yourself. Make sure you gamble responsibly, but you can check everything out over there. There's casino games. There are plenty of other stuff over there. Betting, parlays, all that sort of fun stuff. All of the sports. Check out mybookie.ag and gamble responsibly. And finally, if you need to protect your identity online, go and sign up to expressvpn.com. Fantastic website. If you head over there and then /hoopball, so expressvpn.com/hoopball, that will give you an extra 3 months on a 12-month subscription. I mean, who doesn't love a discount? I know I do. So go and check that out. It's really easy to use. Use it on Netflix. Use it on League Pass, all of that sort of stuff. Dodge to the blackouts, but I didn't tell you to do that. And treat yourself. ExpressVPN.com/hoopball. That will let them know that you found them through us and keeps our show ticking along. So thank you very much. So welcome back to the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Lyle here, continuing to be on the mic. The 3 key takeaways from the game. Number 1, we played together. I've been harping on this. In our victories, we play together. When we lose, we don't. It was really fantastic to see guys like CJ taking over at different times, JV taking over at different times. Heck, Herb Jones was at one point just being aggressive offensively. Brandon, 29 points, 8 and 7. I mean, come on. What more do you want? So many contributors. Everyone that came on except Trey Murphy scored. But Trey was still felt like he was influential. And because he torched them so badly last time, they were stuck to him like glue. They were not letting Trey Murphy beat them again, I tell you what. So being that offensive threat and when he was on and making sure he caught the ball and he was rebounding and contributing in ways that may not show up on the stat sheet, but he defended like an absolute madman. He was fantastic, and I'm a big fan of Trey's, as you know. But all of the guys they just came in, contributed, and while we might not be 100% happy with all of the rotations and maybe different guys should have come in at different times, everyone came in, they were ready. No one looked lackadaisical. Perhaps we had a few forced shots, but everyone was guilty of that. Otherwise, just a really great team win. Now, that leads me into the second key takeaway, which is the stars shine the brightest in LA. You have a look at Brandon Ingram. You have a look at CJ. You have a look at JV. What do you got out there? You got over 60, 70, nearly 80 points out of 3 guys. I mean, to do it on the biggest stage in front of the national media, where they go, oh, you know, the Lakers, they were so close. No, the Pelicans beat them. And the national media and all of that sort of carry on where they just don't give the flowers to New Orleans, I think it's just ridiculous. The Stars came out and they weren't on the Lakers. We had 23-12 from Anthony Davis. Yeah, awesome. He was 8 of 17 shooting. And in the first half, he was just woeful. Westbrook had 12 points, 5 of 15. LeBron had 38. He was the lone bright spot. And he had to literally do every time he went off. He had 6 turnovers. The Stars for the Pelicans stood up. And if you aren't excited about the next few games, well, I'll give you a wake. I need to run over there and give you a shake, because look out, the Pelicans are rolling. And whether they win all the rest of the games, I don't know. I'm not going to look into the future ball, and I'm, what's it called? Yeah, the magic ball, and be able to tell you. I can't predict the future, but I'm pretty happy at the position that we're in, the way we're playing, and the way that the Stars know when to take over. And that's what you need. You need these leaders who are going to contribute when the game's on the line. They play the best. And that's what they did in this. So all credit to showing out in Los Angeles against the Lakers in front of nearly 19,000 fans. Send them home sad. I'm sure they've got a few good TikToks and all that sort of carry on that they do over there. And probably dancing in the aisle. I've seen someone sitting courtside who was just watching their phone the whole time. I was like, why did you spend money on that? Anyway, people are weird. I suppose it was a pretty exciting game, actually, so I don't know. But the third key takeaway is the next few games are just as important as this one. We can't get overwhelmed by or caught up in the success of beating the Lakers. I know it is just delicious beating them. It feels so good. And to really give them a slapping is just fantastic, especially a heartbreaker like that. They thought they were in it, and then all of a sudden we snatched it away from them. Next game, Clippers. Paul George, Reggie Jackson had a rest tonight because they're nervous about us, because we're on their heels. Then after that, who we got? Then the Kings Tuesday night. We know the Kings have given us trouble before, and while they may be blowing it up and trying to tank, well, they're still going to try to beat us. All of these guys out there, there's no easy beats. We saw what happened with Portland. They wanted to come out and fight, and all of a sudden we had a shit fight for the whole game. Pardon the French. We then play Portland again. This will be Josh Hart's return, but you can't take them lightly. They're 27-50 and they've been woeful. But these guys are NBA players, whether they're long-term contracts or guys that are trying to find their spot in the league. Well, they still want to be here, and they're hungry, and they're trying to find a spot. So we need to take every game as important as if we were playing the Lakers. And, you know, we've got the Grizzlies game after that, and then I think it's a back-to-back with the Warriors. Perhaps the Warriors shut guys down. It doesn't look like the Grizzlies did. And even if they do, they just beat the Suns without four of their starters today. So, I don't know, including Ja and Jaren Jackson. So, I would be hesitant to say, oh, we'll rest them all, because the other guys, that team is just so deep. And credit to the Grizzlies. Don't say that very much, but they have been really good, and hopefully they are a bit of a foreshadowing of what we can do next year with the big Z returning, fingers crossed. Now, next game is Clippers, as I said. Paul George has returned. He went ballistic in his first game back, had a rest today, and the Clippers actually, I think they still won, actually. With Robert Covington just going absolutely ballistic, I saw some stat. He was like, he had 43 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Something like the first player in NBA history or something to just be that unbelievable with that stat line. And if you got him in your fantasy final, you'd be pretty happy with that. But their other guys are just as good. You know, Paul George wasn't going to play on the second night of a back-to-back. He gets to rest for us, and so did Reggie Jackson. So they realize that we're coming. And we're on a roll at the moment. And we need to be cautious that we've beaten them 3 times. We've beaten them twice. And we can't make this a cop-out. We can't just think we're going to come in here and beat them, because they're a good side, and they're a playoff side just like we want to be. Broadcast is ESPN. So, national game, I guess. Another opportunity for the Pels to really show out and change this narrative. That's what we want to do. So, looking forward to that game. That is on Monday morning, my time, so Sunday night. Looking forward to having a look at that one and pulling it out. But finally, I want to do a shout out to the guys at the Pels 12. They put together the watch party. I saw a video of it, but all credit to what they managed to pull off down at the was it the Mid City Yacht Club. The video of that looked fantastic. It was absolutely heaving. And guys, while they're on the road trip, bail those guys up and get down there and watch Pels together. Have a few beers if you're that way inclined, or have a few cool drinks or whatever you want. But support your Pels. They had a raffle, which was fun. But all credit to them, what they've managed to pull together just in the last couple of weeks. It's been really, really good. And I think it's nice that the Pels 12 are all connecting. They keep shouting us out in the broadcast. And 12 and growing. So all credit to them. So I'm going to leave it at that. As always, this is the Sports Ethos New Orleans Pelicans podcast. I'm Lyle Swithenbank at Ethos Pelicans at Lyle Swithenbank. Stay safe. Bye for now.